Have today's Bible reading will be from John 19 and then Hebrews 10. So you'll find John 19 on page 754 in the Bible. You're given at the door, verses 28 to 30. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now over to Hebrews 10, you'll find that on page 840, verse 1 to 4 to start with, and then 11 to 14. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never be, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year. Make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Now down to verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But the priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins. He sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time, he waits for his enemies to make his footstool. For one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy.
Hopefully you've got God's word in front of you, either in paper form or some digital format. Keep that open or on, and we'll be looking at both those passages together this morning, but first let's pray. Heavenly Father, we always need your help and the help of your Spirit to understand what you have in your word, and not merely to understand it, but to believe it and to put our trust in what we read so that we can know you and be strengthened in faith in Jesus. So we pray that your Holy Spirit would grant us that gift this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder what you've got planned this long, long weekend. One of our kids called it a double weekend. That's pretty good, isn't it? Four days off work. And I reckon Easter's a great time for getting jobs done around the house. I know that Bunnings certainly promote Easter as a great time for getting jobs done around the house. Have you got that in store this weekend? A few things you've been meaning to get to. Look, I love doing jobs around the house. I see something that needs doing or something that could be improved, and I think I could do that. And usually I can, up to a point. But more often than not, I get to that point. It's about 90%, 80, 90% of the way through the job, I get to that point, and it's almost done, but I just can't seem to get it finished. And there's all sorts of different reasons why I can't get it finished. Often I'll get it to the point where it works, you know, it's kind of functional. It looks okay, it's good enough, it's really not worth all the effort to just finish off the detailed bits at the end, you know, it's so much time just for so little reward, and so often my eye will be caught by another promising project that is asking me to do it, and that will seem much more rewarding, and so I'll head off and do that job. And so what happens is, and I've got some evidence here, this is around my house. What happens is, if we can just flick through them fairly quickly, there's about a million of them, so this is what happens around my house. I leave in my wake this massive list of unfinished jobs, and seriously, this is only the tip of the iceberg. Can we stop on this one? This is This one is great because I've been meaning for years. We did our ensuite a couple of years ago, and I've been meaning ever since. I ran about 2 or 3 tiles short. You know how you do that? Just didn't quite order enough tiles. And so there's a missing tile here that's in the bathroom, plenty of water around, leaving exposed wires, but it's safe, I'm sure. Anyway, I've been telling myself one day I'll get back to Willett's tiles, and I'll get 1 or 2 of those extra tiles from Willett's. I walked past Willett's the other day. Willett's is no more. And I thought I could just go along and say, you've got a copy, you know, you've got a record of my order, you know the tiles I bought. If I could get a few of those, that'd be great. That's not happening. This is the story of my life, the story of my wife's life, the story of our family, the story of my house. I leave in my wake this massive list of unfinished jobs. I am not a good finisher. I rarely get the satisfaction of standing back and looking at something I've done and saying, it is finished. Now, at Easter time, we remember Jesus. We can move on from that embarrassing photo. Thank you. At Easter time, we remember Jesus. But we don't just remember Jesus as a good bloke or a great example. We remember Jesus because of his great Easter project. And the main reason that we remember that project is because, unlike so many of my Easter projects around the house, Jesus got the job done. Jesus finished it. He got the job done. If he hadn't, we wouldn't be here today. There would be nothing to remember, but he did. Now, if we can have the John passage up there on the screen, and you've got it in front of you, hopefully. In this first Bible passage that was read for us this morning, John, the author, uses the word finished 3 times. 2 of them are pretty clear, but the other is translated fulfilled. So you see in the first verse there, knowing that everything had now been finished and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, the Greek word behind fulfilled is also finished, same word. So 3 times in 3 verses, we're told that the time is finished, that word is used. Clearly, John, the author, is making a point. But what is the point? What is finished? Something is finished, but what is it? Is it just another way of Jesus saying, well, this is the end, I'm dying? It doesn't feel like that, does it? It sounds much more like Jesus is saying that he's accomplished something. In fact, it sounds as though it's through what's happening, through his death on the cross, that he has accomplished it. So what is it that Jesus has accomplished through his death on the cross? To answer that, I think it would be helpful to go to the next passage that was read, Hebrews 10. Now, in this passage, the author is, if we go to the next one, in this passage, the author is reflecting on the job of the priests in the Old Testament, especially on the job that they had of offering sacrifices at the temple for the sins of the people. And then he contrasts their job with the very different sacrifice that Jesus offered. So up there we'll see that, I'll just find it here so I don't have to keep turning around. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, speaking of Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So what's the big difference then between the sacrifices that the Old Testament priests made and the sacrifice that Jesus made? Did you catch it? That's right. The job of the priests was never done. Day after day, again and again, we read. Whereas Jesus, it says, offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, See that contrast? It's a very stark contrast. Day after day, again and again, once for all. In the Old Testament, the priest had to offer countless sacrifices, and the reason is clear. It says here that those sacrifices could never take away sins. They were instead a reminder of sin, that everyone was guilty of turning away from God, a reminder of how serious sin is, that it requires blood to be shed. But they could never take away sins. And so they had to keep being offered again and again. And this is where the sacrifice of Jesus is so different. He only offered one sacrifice because the one sacrifice he offered was enough. It got the job done. As it says in verse 14, by that one sacrifice, he has made perfect those who are being made holy. The sacrifice that Jesus offered worked. Not just a reminder of sins, it dealt with sins. It took sins away. In fact, it says here that it was able to make sinners perfect. But how? I mean, what was so different about this sacrifice that Jesus offered? What kind of sacrifice could do what no other sacrifice had been able to do? Why was the sacrifice that Jesus offered able to take away sins and make sinners perfect when no other sacrifice could? The answer is both simple and startling. The answer is that the sacrifice that Jesus offered was himself. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he was dying as a sacrifice. The cross was Jesus' altar. Jesus was both the priest who offered the sacrifice and the sacrifice that was being offered. And because of who Jesus was, that sacrifice, the sacrifice of himself, was able to do what none other could, was able to take away sins and therefore make sinners perfect. And so in between those two Hebrews passages that we read this morning, it says this, and if you've got it open, it might be helpful to follow along. From verse 4, it says, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Those aren't going to do the job. But a body you prepared for me. Jesus took on a body. He took on flesh that he might be killed. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. It was the Father's will that the Son would die on the cross as a sacrifice of atonement to make sinners perfect. First, he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you didn't desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. And then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. So he sets aside the first, the old, to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is a very different sacrifice, isn't it? Jesus, the perfect Son of God, gives up his life to ransom sinners, to buy us back, to pay the price that our sin deserved, so that we could be made holy and perfect. And all that happened, really happened, on the cross 2,000 years ago. So what does Jesus' sacrifice mean for you and I today? Well, that depends. See, it either means nothing or it means everything. And that probably depends on whether you think you need Jesus' sacrifice to take away your sin. I imagine that there are both kinds of people here this morning. Those who don't think they need Jesus' sacrifice to take away their sin, and those who do. See, I think a lot of people, maybe even you, deal with their sin a lot like I deal with all the unfinished jobs in my house. That is, they bother me for a while, but then I just kind of get used to them. I stop seeing them even. I manage to live my life around them, and most people are too polite to mention them. Most people. Sure, every now and then something will start bugging me again, and I'll make myself feel a bit better by patching something up or trying to fix something. And sometimes I can even convince myself that really, if you don't look too closely, it's a pretty nice house. Now, I wonder if that might sound like your attitude to sin. As long as no one looks too closely, you're living a pretty good life. But really, the mess is under there, isn't it? I think we try to treat our sin in that way. But sin is a much deeper problem than the unfinished jobs around my house or around your house. Sin has damaged me and damaged my relationship with God and with others in a way that I just can't repair. And your sin's done the same for you. It's not cosmetic, it's not skin deep. Our sin puts us at odds with God. Our sin makes us God's enemy. And while for now we might be able to ignore that fact and live with the consequences, the clock is ticking. A day is coming when all our dodgy handyman efforts, all our attempts to paper over and pretend will be exposed, and these houses that we call our lives will be rightly condemned because of the sin that's like a plague of termites rotting us from the inside out. Unless we come clean. That is, unless we put our hand up for help. Unless we admit that we have a very real and very deep problem. Unless we acknowledge that we need Jesus' sacrifice to take away our sin. Because if we do, then that changes everything. See, the good news of Good Friday is this. In three words in the English, one word in the Greek, it is finished. That's what Jesus says over your sin. If you put your trust in him to deal with it, it is finished. For those who accept Jesus' sacrifice to take away their sin, guilt is gone. Shame is shattered, your slate is swept clean, and it will never be stained again. Your past is your past. It is gone. God will never hold anything against you if you put your trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, which he achieved through his death on the cross. Then you are able to join in the victory cry of Jesus. You're able to say, it is finished. It's finished for you as well. The job is done. Jesus has done it for you. He's dealt with our past of sin and guilt and shame. He has paid our debt. He has washed us clean, made us whole, and set us free. That's the good news of Good Friday. Let's thank God for it. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts better than we know them ourselves. You know the rebellion and sin. You know the brokenness and pain. You know this world because you made it and you've seen it all unravel. Father, we are so grateful that you didn't leave it to rot and decay, nor did you pass judgment, not on us. Instead, you sent your son. You sent him at that first Easter to do your will, to go to the cross, to die there as a sacrifice for our sin. Father, help us to know our need, to know that each and every one of us needs the salvation that only comes through the cross, needs the forgiveness that only comes through Jesus' sacrifice, so that we would grab hold of what you offer us at Easter, put our trust in Jesus, and leave our past in the past. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.